We'll begin today in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 3, let's begin reading in verse 8. Peter said, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good, let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." The Christians in this book were going through hard times. They were persecuted. They were mistreated. People talked against them and lied about them. And they were about to face even worse trials than these. So what did Peter tell these Christians to do? How were they to react to this adversity? And what can we learn from this teaching? One thing that Peter told them is what we've been discussing, and that is submit to the people who are over you. Submit as citizens to the rulers of the land, and as servants, submit to your masters. Wives, submit to your husbands. Even though it's hard and you may not like it, submit and don't rebel. That's very important. Now, starting in chapter 3, verse 8, Peter tells them even more about how to live for God in a world of all this trouble. So in verse 8, he tells them how important it is to encourage each other and build one another up. The harder life is on Christians, the more Christians need each other. Christians need to associate with each other. Christians need to pray for each other. And Christians especially need to assemble for worship together because it's in those settings that we're built up and encouraged. Trials in life shouldn't drive us away from God. They ought to draw us closer to God. Hardship in life should not draw us away from the brethren, but toward the brethren. And this is what Peter is stressing in this verse. So let's look at verse 8, where he says, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, be like-minded, have the same goals, have the same priorities, have the same convictions, have the same love for each other, and do that without partiality." He says to have compassion one of another. The word compassion here is the word from which we get our word sympathize. So what he's saying is sympathize with each other. Feel for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Like Romans 12, verse 15 says, "Rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep." And like the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, 25 and 26, the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or whether one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. So Christians need that kind of warmth in a cold world. So he says to be of one mind, to have compassion one of another, and to love as brethren, because we are brothers and sisters in a spiritual sense. So the church is a Christian's family. And there is a love between Christian that is like the tie that you have with your own flesh and blood. Remember that Peter has already talked about the kind of love that we're to have toward each other in the church. He says that we are to have unfeigned, that is unhypocritical, sincere and genuine love of the brethren. That's 1 Peter 1, 22. And in the last part of that verse, he said to love one another with a pure heart fervently. Now he comes back later in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, and he emphasizes this again and says to love as brethren. He goes on and he says to love as brethren and to be pitiful. Now this means to be tender-hearted, not cold-hearted, not hard-hearted, but be sensitive to each other's needs. Don't be defensive, and certainly don't be controlling of each other, but be tender-hearted and be merciful. And he says to be courteous. Now the word courteous here means to be friendly. It means to be kind. And you find a form of this word in Acts 28, verse 7, where the Bible says that the people of the island, quote, received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. So it means that they were very kind to them. They were very neighborly, we would say. They were very friendly. And so the Bible tells us here in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, that we're to treat each other like this. We're to be courteous. That is, to be kind, to be thoughtful, and to be considerate. In verse 9, he also tells us that it is important in a world where we as Christians are persecuted not to be vengeful, because it can be easy when you're being mistreated and when you're being treated unfairly and unjustly, it can be very easy to strike back and retaliate and get down on the level of the people that are doing you wrong. So he tells us in verse 9, don't try to get even. Don't try to pay people back. Don't render, as he says, or pay back, evil for evil. Don't do wrong to the people who are doing wrong to you because they're treating you unfairly. People were doing these Christians wrong, and Peter is teaching them how to handle that kind of criticism and persecution. Now, this is very similar to what Paul says in Romans 12, beginning in verse 19. Paul said, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Now, when Peter says in this passage, in verse 9, don't pay back evil for evil, and don't pay back railing for railing, he doesn't mean that you can't stand up for yourself. Jesus said in Luke chapter 17, verse 3, if your brother trespasses against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. So yes, Christians have the right to defend themselves. Christians have the right to tell others that they're mistreating them. But sometimes even that will not change the situation. Sometimes there may be nothing that you can do. And that was the situation with many of these Christians. They were being mistreated, they were being persecuted, but there was really no recourse that they had. There was nothing that they could do, and in fact, if they tried, it might even make it worse. So Peter says, don't pay back evil for evil. Don't render railing for railing. Now, railing is reviling somebody. It is reproaching someone. It is heaping abuse upon somebody. It's the kind of talk that is mean and insulting and hateful and full of spite and bitterness. So when people talk like that about you, don't talk about them in the same way. When they revile you, don't revile them back. And notice, if you will, how much and how often Peter talks about these non-Christians talking bad about these Christians. Notice back in chapter 2, verse 12, that he said that they were speaking against you as evildoers. Notice later in chapter 2, verse 23, that he says that when Jesus was reviled, he did not revile again. And then here in chapter 3, he says, don't render railing, or reviling that is, for railing. And then in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 16, notice that he says, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. So they were speaking evil of these Christians, and they were falsely accusing them. That is, they were lying about them. And then in chapter 4, verse 14, Peter says, if you be reproached for the name of Christ. So one of the major trials that these people had to face was people talking bad to them and about them. And that is exactly what happens with Christians today. One of the big challenges for Christians is to be able to be faithful to God and to have the right kind of heart and spirit when people are saying things that they shouldn't and saying even untrue things about Christian people. Well, Peter is advising these in the first century about that kind of talk, and he's telling us how to respond and how to react today. So he said, instead of rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, he said, contrariwise, blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. So Peter says, don't be vindictive, don't be vengeful, don't seek revenge on other people, and bless other people's lives in every way that you possibly can. And as Paul says in Romans 12, verse 18, beloved, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And that's what he's going to talk more about beginning in verse 10. In verses 10 through 12, Peter quotes from Psalm 34, verses 12 through 16. And he's going to talk about keys to a peaceful life. Notice what he says beginning in verse 10. And again, he's quoting from Psalm 34. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Now notice these things that he talks about. He shows us that it is good and it is right to want good days in our life. It is right. It is acceptable with God to love life. Now we're not to love the world, the ways of the world. We're not to love pleasure for itself. But it is right to love life itself, the life that God has given us, to enjoy life, to look forward to your time on earth. Now, of course, there will be days when life is not enjoyable. There will be times when you'd rather not be here. Moses reached that point, and so did Elijah, so did Job, and so did Paul. They all felt that way at times. But overall, in general, you can have a good outlook on life. You can enjoy life and not have to be a pessimist. You can love the life that you have instead of hating it. So if you desire to love life and see good days, that is, if you want to see good days, and there will be good days and bad days in life, life itself, experience itself, and the Bible show this, especially books like Ecclesiastes. So how can we live so that we will enjoy our lives and so that we will see good days? Well, Peter's plan and David's plan, as they wrote by inspiration for a peaceable and enjoyable life, is this. Number one, in verse 10, he says, the first thing that you need to do if you want to have a good, enjoyable life is to refrain your tongue, to refrain your tongue from evil. Keep your tongue from gossip and lies and backbiting, from profanity, from railing, because our words come back to haunt us, and we reap what we sow. And how we judge others is how others will judge us, Matthew 7, verses 1 and 2, and Ecclesiastes 10, verse 20. Keep your lips from guile, from deceit. Don't hide, don't pretend, don't try to mislead people. Don't be deceptive with people. And then he goes on to say that if you want a peaceful and enjoyable life, then eschew evil, that is to shun or avoid or turn away from evil. Avoid sin. Avoid iniquity. And then he says, if you want this kind of life, do good. Help other people. Give to other people. Love your fellow man. And he says, seek peace and ensue it, that is, pursue it. And if you try to have peace with other people, you're going to have a life that you can enjoy better. You're going to have a more peaceable and a more productive life. But if you have to have your way all the time, or if you're looking for a fuss or a fight, you won't have the kind of life that Peter is describing here. So the way to have a happy, productive life, a life that you enjoy living, is to do these things. Refrain your tongue from evil. Refrain your lips from deceit. Turn away from evil. Do good to other people, seek peace, and pursue it.